This revival, this outpouring, the greatest sign that will be to all men will be that of presence. You'll be able to feel God, experiencing Him. From the least to the greatest, it won't be just the saints, but everyone. Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Pastor Dave, I never will forget, he said he was driving back from Oklahoma City. He'd went to a passion play. And it was a passion play, or might have been a Christmas play, I can't remember. He said the angels flew perfectly. The people, the choir was perfect pitch. The actors acted out their part. No glitches. Everything was just done so professionally. The angels sang. Boy, they sang good. He said there was just one thing missing. That was the anointing. You can't replace that. And he was contemplating, everything was so good. He was driving and everything was so good. But there was no presence. God said to him, he said, if you'll go home and worship me all night, I'll show you what was missing. I'll show you how to bring what was missing. A presence will come. he tickled me. He said, did I do that? He goes, no. But a year later he did. He began to shut himself in with God. And a presence came. Hallelujah. If a presence, does not come in this outpouring, then we have no outpouring. There's no revival. Jesus. Your angels, your Holy Spirit, Jesus, descend and ascend in this house. Hola carece nini. Mare carece di diato clesete, yes sir. Medesinditi. People stay the same. Because they walk into lifeless churches. This isn't preached. They hear some man's opinion. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not methodically preached. And sad, there's a lot of people. Oh God, he's not happy about it, and I sure am not. They'll end their life. They'll come to the end of this life. They'll think, I knew Christ. They'll be shocked. They'll be absolutely shocked Religion taught some. Some were in religion. In one way or the other, it's all religion. A priest can't forgive your sins. There's no priest on the planet that can forgive your sins. Only Jesus. He can't even intercede for your sins in that sense of the word. Love Mary. She's wonderful. Love Mary. Mary can't answer your prayers, nor can she forgive your sins. But then right on the other hand, you've got other religions that look like, kind of like this church. There'd be no holy water at the door. Anything that really looks like a religious statue. And yet, by the thousands, churches across America, they're teaching a doctrine that is, it's absent of presence to start with. Then it's absent of truth and sound doctrine. It'll teach somebody, hey, it's okay if you're sleeping with someone that's not, if you're sleeping with someone that's not your husband or your wife. And they'll give them accolades, and sometimes they'll let them sing on stage. Because they said, well, I got born again when I was this high. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus. He's never come to condemn you. He's come to give you life eternal. But he's also come, he said to that woman who was caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just following God. A lot of mommies and daddies will raise kids, and they'll take a strong stand. They'll go to a church like this, and they'll stand against things like homosexuality, live-in situations. They'll stand with the church, but then when it comes yours, did you hear me? I've seen it 1,000 times or many times when it's their son or daughter or their niece or nephew or somebody close. Somehow you know their heart. So then you make the exception. Those were in jeopardy, but not mine, because I know their hearts. Listen. We've got to bend these knees and pray for our kids, because he won't defile his word. He won't change his word. He loves all of our lost more than anything else in this world. But he won't bend his word for you or for your child. Or for your offspring. That's why we have to bend these knees and call on God and call Him into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Some of this, maybe it's short. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship Him. The enemy doesn't like it when people hear the truth. He doesn't like it. He'll stir up anything he can. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Sing it one more time. Hallelujah.
Forever you will be,
Jesus. Choice to seek Him. Since He's going that way, I'm just going to read some of this. Dear friend, and that's all of you and those of you that are watching, when God spoke to King David and asked him to go into a time of seeking His face for the purpose of intimate fellowship, this was David's response. Psalms 27:8. Thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord. You ask intimacy. My response is, I will. Thy face will I seek. David's response to God's invitation was a reciprocal yes. I will. James writes something similar in James 4:8. Draw nigh unto God. And here's the reciprocal. He'll draw nigh unto you. Drawing close to God for the born again believer is more drawing close to Him. Is more an elective than a prerequisite for eternal life. God will not force a lifestyle of intimacy and self-denial for any of His children. He won't do that. As the old adage goes, forced love is no love at all. As long as the spirit of a person has been born again and does not continue to violate major kingdom laws, he or she will enter into eternal life when they depart. And this is the part that just makes me so angry. We're talking about intimacy, but do you know how many people, millions, this is where I was going a while ago, millions will wake up in hell one day. And they'll just believe with all their heart that they were ready to meet Christ. Why? Because the preachers and somebody in love didn't tell them, you must be born again. And then after you're born again, you must walk with Christ. Many believe in eternal salvation. In other words, if I got born again once, I can just keep living the life I want. And it never runs out. That won't get you there either. I love people too much to let them go to hell if I've got something to say about it. As long as the spirit of a person has been born again and does not continue to violate major kingdom laws, he or she will enter into eternal life when they depart this life. But, oh, what a low level form of existence inside of Christianity. That's just the lowest level of Christianity, just to be saved, and it'll get you there. Being born again opens an individual portal to come and explore the vastness of his love. Heaven is echoing the heart of our Father to come and explore his love and fellowship. The initial born again experience offers a baptism of love through the euphoria of sins being forgiven. Much like a woman, like the woman in Luke chapter 17, she was known in the city as a harlot, yet experienced his love through forgiveness of sins. Luke 7, 37 and 38 says, "And behold, a woman of the city which was a sinner," the word sinner here lets you know that was an understanding that she was a harlot. "When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet and began to wipe his feet and began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment." Jesus spoke these words over the woman concerning her joy of her sins being forgiven. "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Sadly, I've watched many people over 30 years of ministry who have been forgiven much and once filled with great joy because of their sins were forgiven, grow calloused and lukewarm in their walk with God over time. But the life of a seeker, somebody that continues, never grows cold and indifferent. Seekers of God are people who choose to pursue the invitation by our Heavenly Father to live a spiritual life beyond the mediocre. They're born again believers, and then there are those who are born again believers who just can't get enough of God's presence. To them is this scripture fulfilled, and their path just keeps getting brighter and brighter. Let me say something, and I'll read that. It's a short letter. I've seen people, I can think of two or three right offhand that have come in. Their testimony was about like Homer's, about like Gary's. I mean, they got born again and then filled with the Holy Ghost. They were so happy that they were. That joy of being happy because of that euphoria of sins being forgiven was what Jesus was describing. But you know, I can give you more list than that. I can give you a long list of people that were real excited about Christ one time and their sins being forgiven, that are no longer serving Christ. That initial euphoria was not enough to keep them going. You had to go from there to becoming a real seeker of God. Come on, somebody, help me. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day." Seekers are reachers, and reachers reach for a new place in God beyond all past experiences. What if the scope of believing how much God's presence we could obtain? Y'all going to have to help me. The devil came in a little bit ago. Y'all going to have to help me. Because we got to take this to another place. Let's all stand. Don't let the devil distract you. Mahale sediatala. Angels of God, raise up. Glory of God, raise up. Power of Holy Spirit, raise up in the name of Jesus. We worship you, 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 Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift those hands and just magnify Him. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Jesus. You may be seated. If you could see in the spirit realm, see how they come to fight, you'd be glad you fought. Then if you begin to work things out with your mind and you begin to war with your mind and reason things out, they love that. They love that. See, we're fighting for men's eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Presence is what people, there's more in that, but I won't stay there right now. I was watching something last night. Just a little bit. On AI. Artificial intelligence. That's the big thing, you know. It's so amazing. You can, Elon says, you might not believe this. He said, the best doctors, the best surgeons in 5 years will be AI. It'll be operating on people. Now you'll have a maybe a lump in your throat when you get on your American airline flight and there's just two robots. But it's coming, and it's sooner than what you think. You can type in, give me a good message on Holy Spirit and baptism of the Spirit, praying in tongues. And it'll type you out something that sounded like somebody that had been fasting and praying for 40 days. It's that smart. It's going to challenge the world that we live in. If you've ever seen the movie iRobot, it's going to be. Could be. Or Terminator. But you know what? As scary as that AI might be, there's one AI that scares me way beyond that one. Not artificial intelligence. It's artificial intimacy. That's the AI. Artificial intimacy. When people think they're sitting in the presence of God, and there's really no presence. It's a program. And not just those kinds of services, but the AI, the artificial intimacy that really is destroying most of the church is an intimacy that they're having with something else. Not that's going to send them to hell, but an intimacy that distracts them from pouring in all that they possibly could into Christ. And it's an artificial intimacy because it fills something inside of them. Listen, folks, you're the greatest. Let me say, you're the greatest. What's Trump say? You're the greatest. You're the greatest. You're the greatest. I'm just going to brag. You're the greatest. Thank you. You're the greatest. Thank you. I was hoping. Thank you. But I got to tell you something. This ain't it. We're calling for revival, but folks, this ain't it. If this is it, I'm gathering what little bit I got, selling out, buying 100 acres in Tennessee, because I won't go to hell. I'll just be counted unworthy. Because he said, any man that puts his hand to the plow looks back. But if I can't have revival, I'd rather go home. Because this ain't it. This is a wonderful presence, but I'm talking about a sweeping presence. Fills up a place. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb. And you cannot get it by artificial intimacy. If something is filling in the inside of you, listen. I love projects. We got a project going on at our house. I love prosperity. I love different things going on. A lot of wonderful things. You can have different things. But if property, a house, a vacation, your business, anything, if it's filling that void of intimacy on the inside of you, and if it's causing you to not want to seek Him beyond, if it's kids, if it's family, He's asked us in Luke, He used this word. Some gets real, they get upset about it, but He used it. He said, if you don't hate your father, your mother, your children, houses and lands, you're not worthy to be my disciple. In other words, it's not that you couldn't have. Homer said the other day, he said, we've bartered, we've condemned, then we've ask people sweetly, then we've almost offered, you know, green stamps. You don't know what green stamps are. We've offered anything we possibly could to get people out to services. Then you say, you got to, and listen, I understand. I can walk here faster than you can go get in your car. I understand my convenience. And Immokalee's kind of an anomaly in the sense of the word, none of you live here hardly. So there is an understanding, and nights are long and weeks are long and kids got to go to school, and I understand all that. But you know what's going to change a lot of that? A real revival. A real revival. Now, we keep saying we're in the edge waters of it, but I can tell you, folks, I just, in a good sense, got to tell you, we ain't there yet. If the kids are in the car and they say, are we there yet? Well, I can tell you, kids, we are not there yet. This ain't it. There's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more. Artificial intelligence is not our problem. It's artificial intimacy, something that's holding something in our heart. But when all of us, from preacher down to whoever, sell out, there's going to be more than what we ever dreamed of. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Sing it one more time. You may have walked away and you're no longer born again. You may have been saved at 10. You can lose this. It's hard, but you can lose it. And if you died, you would not go to heaven. But Christ loves us so much. If you're in here this morning, or you're out there, you need the Lord. He loves you so much. He died for you, gave his life for you. I'm going to pray over this congregation and pray through the camera. If you want me to pray for you, if you're not sure, totally sure, that if you died today, I'm not talking about you having once had a born-again experience with God, but I'm talking about you knowing that you know. If you're not sure, I want to pray for you. Just lift your hand. Is there anybody in here or anyone out there? I can't see, but just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Is there anyone in here? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I think everybody here, really. Let's just pray this prayer together. It won't hurt all of you Christians, and anyone that possibly could raise their hand if. Just say this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Father, I ask Jesus to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood. Jesus, you died for my sins. I confess you as my Savior and as my Lord. Come into my life. I'll follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Finish this and then we'll go home. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a more perfect day. Seekers are reachers, and reachers reach for a new place in God beyond past experiences. What if our scope, this is a question for all of us, of believing how much God's presence we could obtain was limited. If it's limited to our experience, this would be very limiting. But I'm convinced that there's a universe of God's presence and love that will be obtained in this outpouring of revival. The seekers will bring this anointing into the church and their geographical region. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The reason why God promises to go beyond our asking or thinking is because we can tend to be very limited by our own past experiences and what we expect God can do. This is one of the reasons why miracles are so limited at this present time in the church. But God has promised us that he will break us out of our own self-made universe of limitations and take us to a place where all things are possible and we think like him according to the power that works in us, as the word says, of course, if we just keep seeking him. If you're old enough to remember the weekly television series Star Trek, then you will remember the opening mission statement repeated by the captain of the Starship Enterprise: to explore strange new worlds and to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. We, the church of 2025, have been asked by God to rediscover the once civilization of a powerful church founded on the sayings and the works of Jesus Christ. Nothing diminished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To boldly go where no previous generation or where previous generations have failed to explore through seeking his face for more. The status quo has failed us. Seekers are sick in a godly manner of status quo. There's a godly sickness that comes to the person who continually seeks God. Song of Solomon 2, 4 and 5 says, "He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me, flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love." If you know anything about, and we've taught on it, the Song of Solomon is an intimate love affair between Christ and the church. Song of Solomon 5:8 says, "I charge thee, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love." Seekers are sick in love with God, and sick in love will replace, you know, there's a good kind of sickness. You get sick enough in love with God, it'll eventually heal your physical sickness. Seekers have determined they cannot live without this outpouring of his presence. Founding Father Patrick Henry's fiery speech of "Give me liberty or give me death" stands as a natural parallel to the spiritual hunger for the seeker of God who just has to have more of his presence. We cannot live without more of him. The reason why seeking God face to face in extended hours of prayer is so pleasing to him is because it's our choice to seek him, and God will not force intimacy on us. Pastor Dave Roberson, which I mentioned earlier in a statement, said that God once told him, "I cannot," listen to this, "I cannot love me," that is God, "I cannot love me in you for you." In other words, God will not override our wills for the purpose of making us seek him, to know him intimately. He will certainly help to empower the process, But the initiation of all seeking is on our part. Please continue to seek Him at all cost for what is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand. We worship You, Jesus. We glorify You. Well, I gave You time on Wednesday night. I think I'm giving You more time now. I got one of these services, I'm going to keep You for 3 hours over. I'm just kidding. We love You, Jesus. One more time, give Him praise. We worship You, Jesus.